Can I pray? Let me pray, and then you introduce yourselves, and we'll start the conversation. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you gave the apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists to equip your church. You want to have a body that is fully functioning, working together, mature, being built up. And we want that, Lord. And please help us to think a bit further on that whole issue of how best in this particular season we can be helping that to happen, that there would be a body that's being built up, every part doing its work, every member ministering, serving, fully engaged, growing in unity and love for you. So we pray that for your glory. Amen.
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 Tom, do you want to start just to introduce who you are, who you're related to, that sort of thing?
Yeah, sure. So, So I'm Tom Sweetman, and I'm an assistant pastor at Cornerstone Church in Kingston. I was converted there as a student in 2009, and I joined the ministry apprenticeship scheme there in 2011. And in one way or another, and in one form or another, I've been on staff ever since then. So that's great. I'm married to Laura, and we've got two kids, Caleb, who's 3.5, and Imogen, who's just about 11 months. And we're down in Kingston. We meet in Tiffin Boys School, if you know where that is. And Pete Woodcock is the senior pastor. And has been for as long as I've been here, and longer.
Great, and you were involved in the Antioch initiative years ago.
Yeah, I was. I was involved. Yeah, so I did the commissioned apprenticeship scheme, and then after that, I did the Antioch Church Planting Academy, and we had a go in for a couple of years. We had a go at a kind of plant in Teddington. Where there was a team of us, a core group of us, who lots of whom lived over there, and we had a go at doing some evangelism there and seeing if something would take off, and tried to plant an evening service and did some midweek stuff, and we had a great time doing it, but it never really looked viable, and so we decided to sort of pull it before we fully established it, and so we did that with the Antioch, so with the support of the Antioch plan as well.
Well, we honour you for having a go at that, and making a really, really good attempt at that, and praise God for that, and that you're continuing serving at Kingston. What can you explain a little bit what capacities you're serving in? Sort of assistant pastor, what does that actually look like in terms of weekly kind of responsibilities and stuff?
It's I mean, all kinds of things, really. I mean, I do a fair bit of the preaching and teaching. We've got a morning service and an evening service, so helping to lead and teach at both of those. I kind of look after the membership stuff a little bit, our membership course and evangelistic courses that we run, help to kind of lead our men's ministry group, and all sorts of other stuff in between. Students I've done, for a long time, and still look after the student group as well. So
what sort of number of students would you, in terms of percentage wise, would you have it?
oh, this year smaller than we've had. We've had about sort of 12 students, I would say, this term.
Okay.
So and they're a mixture of kind of first years, second years. Some are doing postgrad qualifications, PGCEs, so.
Yeah, thank you. It does sound like a lot of churches are seeing student numbers really go down this year. Mike, can you introduce yourself, and where you
Sure.
are?
Sure, great. Great to see a lot of familiar faces, actually. Great to see you, mate. I'm gonna go a long way back. But we knew each other since we were kids. So anyway, so my name is Mike. I am currently one of the pastors at the Globe Church in Central London. It's an FIC church, started about 6 years ago. I joined as a pastor there in July this year. Just finished Oak Hill. I was there right at the start when we first started, so kind of was there for the first couple of years, disappeared off to college, and then came back and realized they really didn't need me to grow the church, because it exploded after I left. So that was really humbling, great to see. But yeah, it's a real blessing to be back. So we currently meet, we started a new venue 2 weeks ago. So we're meeting at a school called Arc Globe Academy, which is very fitting name-wise. You walk in and the playground is a big sign that says "We are Globe," which really fits with our church, which is great. I'm married to Jemima. We have two girls, Rachel, who's 2.5, and Sophie, who's 4.5 months. And we're currently living in Kennington, Oval, around that area, so not too far from there. Yeah, so that's me. Very similar ministry journey to Tom, actually. So Tom, I think Tom and I crossed over at kind of commission apprenticeship, kind of ministry training stuff, and then we both joined the Antioch Church Planting Scheme at the same time, which is how we got to know each other a bit. And that first cohort with Perks guiding us through. So yeah, and that's how I ended up being a part of the Globe Church. The initial plan.
Great, great. And tell us what your, I think you've got quite an interesting kind of title on your card now.
That's right. Yeah. So it's so when I applied for the role, it was the role was the pastor of ministry development, which is an absolute mouthful. And it looks quite posh. So on the website, you know, Jonty's the pastor, and I'm this pastor of ministry development. And everyone's like, "Oh, what's this?" And I think the thinking behind it was, typically what you tend to see is you got, you know, the senior pastor, assistant associate pastor, assistant pastor, and it's kind of quite hierarchical. But I think we at the Globe wanted to go more thinking really carefully about plurality of elders, which is what we believe in, and thinking more kind of role-based, thinking how do we together with the various gifts that we have help the church to grow, rather than having a here's a senior pastor and then an assistant just below doing a certain kind of youth ministry or whatever, to really think how do we train across the church more. And so it's a slightly flatter structure in many ways, and it just gives a more specific remit of what I'm supposed to be focusing on within the life of the church, which is ministry development, which essentially means really equipping and training the teams within the church and across the church, from say the welcoming team, the newcomers team, to catering, to evangelism music teams, all the teams across the church. I'm really working to help them understand what their roles are, to really take charge of that, and equip them so that they really feel well equipped to run with these ministries without the staff team professionally having to do things, or that's the sort of thinking behind it. So it's really kind of thinking about one anothering. What does that really look like across the life of the church, and how do we really help and equip people to do that really well? So that's kind of my role. Just a caveat: I've just started this. I'm nowhere a specialist. I'm still modelling through, so I'm not speaking from a huge amount of experience. It's just kind of still working through a lot of things, but it's been helpful, I think, to think of it differently. So,
Could you share a bit more about what your thinking is currently, and you know what that actually means in practice? So you talked about different teams and I sense enabling them. You talked about kind of helping them to understand their role. What does that actually look like? Do you work just with leaders or religious? Sure. How does that work?
So I mean, it's almost like thinking theologically, why does each team matter? So take for example the catering team or the, you know, the cake baking, we've got a cake baking team, and everyone will just be like, I'll just stick on a rota and make cakes. But within that, we want to train them and say, why does it matter theologically why you make cakes? Well, so we're thinking really about the theology of hospitality, the theology of glorifying God through the gifts that he's given to you, that sort of stuff. So that they really feel like I'm really called towards this ministry, and it's a great way to serve, rather than just going, I can bake cakes, I'm just going to be stuck on a rota and just do it. So it starts from areas like that to, you know, things like evangelism. I think classically what happens in churches is that evangelism is very event driven. So you think about, you know, mission weeks or specific events where you get people to come into the church building and you get a speaker to come and do it. But we realize that that's easy for the staff to do because they've got the time to plan those events and do it. But what we actually really need is a culture in the church where the church is really thinking, how do we all of us go out to evangelize? It's not the work of just the pastor or the evangelist to stand up and speak and evangelize people who we bring along. It's to really think, how do we, it's the kind of Tom Heisman does it a lot, this, you know, come and see and go and tell. And it's really thinking, how do we equip people to do that really well across the life of the church? And so the team, what I'm trying to do with the evangelism team is get them away from thinking, okay, what events do we need to run throughout the year, to how do we change the culture of the church so that evangelism seeps through the life of the church? So it's getting them to input into Sundays. How can we shape Sunday services to have more evangelism kind of coming through, whether that's them feeding that back to the pastors in their preaching, or having elements in the service that will help with that. Thinking about, you know, prayer meetings, can we do that more? Do they lead one or two of those and shape that? It's just thinking across the life of the church rather than just specifically at events. So that's something we're really trying to work hard on, and to change the culture. And then the event stuff, the staff team then says, look, we'll run the events so that you guys can be free to do those things and be involved in events when you need to be, but you can really work on the culture stuff. Because we've got the time to do that, whereas they don't. And so that's the kind of some of the thinking behind what we're trying to do. Mm. Yeah.
Just to press into a little bit of the detail of one of those specific things, because it's something that I've seen and struggled with a little bit, in terms of you have a team where, like for example, an evangelism team, you gave example of, or a kind of overseas mission or something, and you'd like that to flow into wider parts of church culture, like the services, and yet what are the kind of the routes through, so that often what happens on a Sunday service is kind of fairly kind of controlled rightly by the pastors or sort of senior eldership kind of team. So you can have this difficult thing where you have a team that would like to see this happen, and then how does it actually kind of feed through? Do you have someone who is part of that group who is one of the pastors or elders, and is it, or do you have someone to communicate? Do you see what I mean?
That's right. Yeah. So the way we have four key values within our church. So discipling, being generous, missional. I should know that. Discipling, generous, red mug, relational is the last one. So we have these four values, and over each is either an elder or someone on staff. And so we'll be communicating with each of the team leaders within those buckets, as it were. And so they will feed back to their team leaders, who will then feed back to the elder or the staff member, and they'll input into the pastors. And I'm very heavily involved in that. So I can hear everything. I'm in charge of shaping services on a Sunday. And so that's kind of controlled to some degree as to how much we input from there. So there are channels of communication that we have. But within that, something I've really noticed is often what happens in churches is when you have teams, they tend to just stick to their team and they don't really think beyond that. And what we're trying to do is promote a lot more cross collaboration, because if you're trying to change the culture of the church, the evangelism team can then communicate with, say, the social media team or the creative team to have more artwork that can help, or, you know, that sort of thing. So there's a lot more communication across the teams, so people feel like we are one body, really trying to move together. And so we've, as elders very recently, we've met to discuss the vision of the church and make that really clear. And then that vision sets the agenda for all the teams, who then know that we're on this one mission, this clear vision that we have as a church. So how does the evangelism team fit into that? And how do we then work with other teams to kind of get that very, sounds all neat and tidy on paper. It's not like that in reality. It's quite messy and there's lots of things to do, but that's the kind of thinking behind what we're trying to do.
So a cross-cutting theme that everyone can sort of be.
Yeah, exactly. So everybody knows. It's almost as though we want everybody to be able to say, the Globe Church, this is what the Globe Church is about. And all the teams know that. And then they think, okay, how does evangelism fit into that? Or the prayer team fit into that? That's kind of the way we're thinking at the moment.
Great. Thank you. Tom, just to bring you in on that, how does that kind of compare, contrast some of the stuff that you've been doing at at Cornerstone. How do things work there in terms of, I guess, every member ministry, teams, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, I mean, a lot of those questions that you asked Mike, I was were the ones I was asking him when we had that meal together, and I was very interested in his role there and that specific responsibility that he's been given to, you know, not just to organise and manage rotas, but to actually equip people to run, you know, serving teams where people feel like they've bought into something and they're passionate about a particular ministry rather than just sitting on a rota. And the reason I was interested in that is because we've very much been thinking along those lines and talking as elders about how we can do that a bit better. And so we've realized that as the church grows, the bigger rotas become, the less people are serving, if you see what I mean, because there's more on the rota. And therefore the less sort of buy-in, the less identity that ministry has. People are on rotas and for some ministries that can work quite well. And we've historically always done it that way, but we've just noticed as it's got bigger, it's probably not the most effective way to do things anymore. So we've kind of recently with our welcome team, I mean, we've got a media team as well who are absolutely terrific and saved our skins during lockdown in many ways. And they're fantastic because they all know what they're doing. They self-generate, they've got ideas, they recruit others in. And so that's great. With our welcome team, we've been sort of rethinking how we do that and thinking about the whole journey, not just from first-time visitor, but actually getting them then into the newcomers group, make sure they're involved in hospitality, and then serving themselves and becoming members of the church. So we've decided to try to think more about that whole journey from first-time visitor to actually meaningfully committed. And we realised that just having like rotated teams is not the best way, because people don't meet newcomers or they forget them or they're not on next week and things begin to slip. So we've put one of our elders in charge of the welcome team. And what he's decided to do is to really make it a team rather than a rota. So in other words, he said to those people who were serving in that way, look, if you can, we'd like you to pull out or step down from other areas in which you're serving and do this every week. So you're on welcome every single week. And they've now got their own little WhatsApp group and Google Doc where they make notes. You know, James was here for the first time, married to Jane, you know, and it's just between that, you know, I'm sure there's GDPR complications with that, I imagine. But and the idea there is that they're there every week. They know who's coming and they're able to remember faces and names and families and occupations when they see them again. And I think it's been really, really good, actually, because we've just said to this guy that you run it as you want. And he's got them special T-shirts and vests and organized a welcome table, and they're all on every week. And we've just found that to be a really good thing. And it's a departure from what we've done in the past, as I say. And so that's kind of why I was interested in what Mike was saying there, not just about getting people on rotas, but raising up people for teams. I mean, we have thought about even doing it for Sunday school and stuff like that. We haven't actioned any of this, but we have wondered whether it would be better for the kids if they had the same teachers week in, week out for 6 months. So everybody on that Sunday school team is serving the Sunday school. So rather than 1 week on, 1 week off, or 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, they're there for 6 months, and then they swap with another team who comes in, and those volunteers would be expected to go to the evening, so they get fed from the scriptures themselves as well, which is, again, sort of thinking about that team idea, so that people feel like they're not just serving, but they belong to a, you know, a ministry. It's really their own thing. Yeah, that's some things we've been thinking about.
Yeah, thank you. That's really helpful. So I guess I'm just hearing there's the issue of church size makes a bit of a difference, that rotas increasingly get much more dispersed and you lose that team thing, but also you're saying that thinking through a pathway, thinking through a journey of somebody and how valuable it can be to have sort of teams actually helping people through. And yeah, I can really see that with the welcome sort of side of things. Could you just crystallize a little bit more for us that difference between a rota and a team, because you were saying there's that issue of kind of ownership, there's the consistency thing. You obviously gave people quite a lot of autonomy to do things how they wanted to. Any other kind of aspects of what it means?
I mean, just on that point, we've got quite a large eldership. So we've got 10 elders, which does make a difference. And it means that every month, you know, we're able to sort of ask questions about these teams and provide a bit of direction as an eldership. So that helps. Well, I think the thing is, you know, look, sometimes I think, you know, rotors are fine, and we sort of all need them, don't we? That's just the reality of life. But I guess it's about how that's run, I suppose, is what we're thinking. In other words, if you just get sort of an automatically generated email once a week saying you're down to serve refreshments this Sunday, and you get that once a month, you know, people are brilliant in that they faithfully turn up and do it, but it doesn't sort of really go anywhere. You know, and the bigger the team gets, the less they're serving on it. Whereas this is trying to say, look, let's help people. Let's help people really feel like that, you know, they are in a team, and what they're doing is not just turning up, but it's a meaningful contribution where they're thinking about the whole life of the church and how they can grow that ministry. You know, so the team leader of refreshments is not just thinking about sending his rota out. He's getting them together and he's thinking, right, could we do a special bun this week, or a new type of coffee, or, you know, and he's trying to give them freedom to sort of dream dreams really for their thing. And that's it. That's sort of the idea really.
I like that. You're sort of fitting into the life of the church as well. And I think it comes on to what you were saying, Mike, about how does your team fit into an overarching vision of what our church is all about and what we're trying to do. And that whole thing of theologizing that you mentioned, Mike, as well, about sort of what is hospitality and actually getting a real purpose behind that. I was struck recently in another training where we were talking about this issue of teams and rotas by the fact that if you lose that sense of a purpose and a people focused purpose, that is like, how is this actually leading to growing people in Christ? Then you start to just focus on doing the task as efficiently as possible. And I was struck then going to church the following Sunday, and I'm part of the stewarding team. And I suddenly realized, our focus is on getting those chairs packed up and stuff into a container as quickly as we possibly can so we can go home. And yet that actually prevents people from, particularly when it's cold and they can't go outside, it prevents them from staying and having conversations because you've got scraping of chairs, you've got banging. I suddenly thought, what are we doing? This is ridiculous. So we need to just spend can we just not do that for 15 minutes, guys? Let's just not clear up any chairs for 15 minutes because we're actually fighting against the whole purpose of the church. So, Mike, I don't know if you could say anything a bit more about sort of what that means in practice for you, in terms of hospitality and just thinking of envisioning a team. Mm. Are you the one who does that, or do you get someone who's in the team to do that? Or how does that actually work?
I think part of my role is to do exactly that, which is why this is quite a unique and specific role. Like, it's almost my job to meet with the team leaders and with the team. So something I'd love to do is sit down with each of the teams. And I think it means a lot to them. When people are serving and one of the pastors or the elders carves out some of their time to say, I'm not all about the preaching. That is primary and that's really important, but I really care about the way you guys serve as well. I want to make sure you feel really well equipped to do that. I think it says quite a lot to the team. For teams that feel quite insignificant, you know, they think, I'm just baking cakes, it's fine, or I'm just welcoming people at the front door. And it just indicates to them actually what everything that you're doing in the life of the church is so important. This is one of the best ways to love God and love his people. And it's helping them to see that. So that's something I want to do, is invest my time into sitting with those teams, each one of those teams, and talking them through why this matters. And drawing that up for them so that they really see why it is. Oh, sorry. Sorry, my.
That's good. That's good. As yeah. There's Team Son there. It's great. Hi.
This is Rachel.
I wonder whether we just take 2 or 3 minutes now and just go into breakout rooms and just buzz in groups just about, in your particular church context, what are you doing in terms of thinking about mobilizing everyone in the church? What are you doing in terms of thinking about teams, rotors? Are there things that Mike and Tom have mentioned that kind of actually spark a thought? Is that all right? We just go for just a few minutes, just knock that around, and then I think hopefully some questions will come out of that when we gather back together. So I'll just open those rooms and then call you back in a couple of minutes. Great to have everyone back. Comments, queries, questions?
For me, when Mike, you were describing all of those responsibilities, my question was, what's everybody else doing? You're doing a lot. To get the bigger picture, maybe it would be good to understand what everybody else's role is that you're not taking.
You mean in the eldership or?
Yeah.
So we're a slightly funny position where, so John T and I take on the majority of a lot of this sort of stuff because the other elders, two of them live slightly far away. So they find it harder to come in to do this stuff midweek. So essentially the way we split up, John T does a lot of the Bible teaching focus. So midweek groups, the curriculum for that, like him writing those Bible studies, planning the preaching series. Obviously we'll do that together, but he'll come up with a lot of that thinking because that's where his real gifting's there. And so we want to free him up to do that really well. And that's where I compliment him by doing this stuff, which he doesn't feel as comfortable doing. And so the midweek stuff, student groups, for example, I don't really do a huge amount on there. And that's all his remit. And I'm doing all the other teams, as it were. And so we try to kind of balance each other there. And then within that, a couple of elders are helping with some of the teams. So the prayer team is done by one elder, the evangelism team, the other one, by another one, because they're quite key teams. So there are some more priority groups that we feel are really important, like music, prayer, and evangelism, for example. And we'll have one of the elders on each of those. And then the other teams, still very important, but we feel that staff members can still run those sufficiently, which is why they do that. And I just have an overall oversight and responsibility over those people who are leading those teams, which is why, and I don't think you have to do this, but I just, particularly because I'm new, I think it's important that I do meet all the teams in the year. And I think it's a good pattern to try and get into if I can, to carve out time to do that at least once a year to meet with each of the teams. But that's kind of the overall structure of how things are going. I don't know, it's not necessarily right, but at the moment that's how we've got it, and we'll just see if that's too much for us, or how we need to spread it out more. But yeah, that's a good question though. Yeah, thanks.
John, do you want to come in?
Yeah, I have a question. I just wonder whether it's about demographic, I guess. So I guess we're a church that's, our primary demographic is 30s and 40s, with lots of kids running around their feet, and to tell them that they're on one team every week, they'd probably tell me to jog on, and that once a month is fine, thanks. I wonder how I guess it's partly a mindset. It might be that they're not on it every week, but if you've given them that mindset of ownership, they're at least kind of looking in on it and they're shaping it. And yeah, I don't know. I just wonder whether there's just a little bit more to be said on that.
Tom, have you got any thoughts on that?
Yeah, no, I think it's a good point. And I think what you touched on at the end of your question is really what we're trying to do. So it's even if they can't, for whatever reason, commit to every week, you know, they still feel like what they're doing is meaningful, and they've got a say in it, and they feel it to be a proper ministry rather than just a duty they're discharging, you know, as and when they're called on. I mean, we've actually found, you know, for our welcome team, that people with young kids are actually brilliant on it. And actually, we've noticed that people love coming in the front door and having a slightly chaotic scene of mum and dad trying to give something out with the kids running around. And obviously there's complications with it because sometimes the kids are running through the car park and there's difficulties there, but it's been quite nice for families to do it together. Like we found with that particular ministry, I mean, there are some where it may not work. So if you're trying to carry boiling hot urns of, you know, and the kids are running around your feet, it's less than ideal, isn't it? But I suppose that general feeling of ownership is what we sort of tried to instill, really.
Just to comment on that as well, I think we're quite a different demographic, John. Like we're probably slightly younger because we're central London. So means people don't have kids generally, so they're a bit more flexible, and so we do have that advantage. But that said, I think that ownership thing that Tom's saying is really key. So if the team and the team leaders are really clear on that, on their understanding of what the team's for theologically, and they can communicate that to other people, it just helps with the whole. Often in churches, what I tend to see is kind of 10-15% of the church work really hard and the rest are kind of on the fringe. And it's the more you mobilize the 10-15% to have ownership, I think that percentage starts to grow. And so so then you'll have more people with kids who are part of the team who can then spread the load a bit more and don't feel like they have to do it every week because the team's grown. I think that takes time. And we found that it, even with the younger generation, it does take time for people to get, you know, on board with that. But I think that's what we try and work really hard at is giving the team leaders and some of the core members in each of those teams real ownership as to why this really matters, so that they can communicate that rather than us always going, like me going around going, can you come and do this? Can you come and do this? It's actually the people who are doing it say, this is really exciting. And this is how we're helping the church to love God and love his people, you know, in the way we kind of welcome people or do kids ministry and people get really on board with that. I think that, and again, it does take time, but it's quite good to try and see if that does help.
That's good what you said then, Mike, because I think that's one step more than what I've just said, and I think really important because there's a teaching component to it as well, isn't there? So, in other words, you could just gather a team, you know, and put them in charge of a ministry, but what you're saying there is you don't just want to, you know, you want to teach them theologically as to why this particular ministry matters, and to, because that's going to win their hearts in the end, isn't it? And exactly. Give them the big picture of what it's all about.
Johnny.
Yeah, can I, it's sort of connected to that. So, Mike, you talked at Globe about how you've got those four values and the teams all sort of fall into one of those four buckets. I guess that must then be pretty key for how you mobilize people, like reminding people you're part of the relational team, like this is why it's such a big value for us. So I guess deciding on those core values must have been a pretty key part of the process. And could you talk us through like how you did that? Has that just been part of your church DNA since the beginning, or was that all connected to thinking about teams, and how did you explore that process?
It's a good question. I think, so when I was first there, we had 5 G's to go over the Globe. It was like glorify, grow, give, go, gather, go, or something like those 5. And we kind of had like a management matrix structure. I don't know if you've seen those before. So those 5 values kind of underlie everything, and then we have teams across. And I think they tend to work for much larger church sizes. And so we were starting as a church plant and tried to implement this early on, and it wasn't really working. So we kind of went back to basics and said, okay, what are the key values that we feel as elders that scripture really seems to point towards? And those were the 4 that we came up with: being well-discipled, being generous, being missional, being relational, the key 4 values that any church we think should really hold to. And we just articulated those in those 4 ways, and they've just kind of stuck ever since. And actually, so for our vision and mission that we tried to get together on a couple of weeks ago as elders, those 4 values we all agreed, again, those 4 values are key to who we are as our identity. And we just build everything on top of that. And I, you know, because we're in central London, there are lots of big, strong central London churches who are doing different things. And I think most of them would agree that those 4 are quite key to who they are. It's then on top of that is then, okay, why are we as Globe slightly different in our mission relative to, say, you know, St. Helens or the North Shore. Not saying we're anything like that, but it's just kind of being distinct, not in our values, but in our mission. I think that's what we're doing. So that's kind of how we got to it in a very simplistic way. It's just what we saw as elders within Scripture, which were key to the life of the church. Come back to me, like push back if you need more clarity. Or
no, that's helpful. I mean, we've been sort of toying with this whole idea of how we might structure teams and sort of seesawing between, like, do we get the 5 G's or whatever in place first, or do we just organically start a few teams and then how to go about it. I don't know.
I think it's it's part of what in his book, which you may have seen, we were just talking about it in the break, Ray Evans in his Ready, Steady, Grow book. He talks about this move into the awkward sized church. And I guess that is not necessarily a numerical barrier all the time. It's just a general feeling that you pick up, isn't it? That things have got a little bit awkward in here now. And trying to sort of do stuff to address that is quite complicated. And you can probably tell there are imperfections and teething issues with all of it, really. But it's just interesting to reflect when I first joined, in the church in 2009, it was much smaller then. And, just because it was smaller, we found that new people picked up almost everything they needed to know very quickly. So I was seeing Pete as a student 3 times a week, twice on Sunday, once a student breakfast, once for a student, but 4 times a week even. And you just know by being there who all the elders are quite quickly, even though you don't get taught it, you just pick it up. And suddenly you're expected to do stuff because there's not enough people. You know everybody who's new, and you just feel much more at the heart of it. But as you grow, it becomes much more complicated for people to go on that same journey. You realize they could have been coming for 6 months and not know who the elders are, or that you even had an international cafe, for instance. Even if you publicize it, it can still be missed. And so all of this is really trying to just think about how to help people to have what we once had in, getting into the heart of it, but trying to, you just inevitably need some sort of, whether it's organic groups or some sort of structure to help people, because that's what it's all about, isn't it, really?
Could you go on to talk a bit about what I think you were saying in the break as well about how COVID has impacted this kind of stuff? And we come to you as well, Mike, as well, in terms of we're thinking about the new normal and stuff. Are there things that you've noticed that have made the sort of thinking about teams and equipping people actually more important, or are there different issues that you're facing?
Yeah, I mean, look, a number of things, really. I mean, we've decided to keep our live stream stuff going for the moment. And we find that lots and lots of new people who come have been there first and not just listened, but watched something. So we had a dedication service the other day where we had about eight babies who were being dedicated all on the stage. And we had a family come the next week saying the reason that they came is because they saw all those children and they thought, oh, this is a place I could bring my children, which they wouldn't have seen if it was just an audio recording. So that we decided to sort of keep that going for now. I think we've noticed that there's quite a few new people coming who have come either from churches that they've grown disillusioned with or by over COVID, or their churches have stopped for whatever reason. And so there's quite a lot of other Christians from sometimes quite different theological backgrounds coming, which presents its own problems. But also I think COVID has just affected the way people sort of commit to things now. So we had a welcome reception after a morning service back in September, and we had 14 new people who came, and most of whom had come on that particular day. And even though we thought it was a roaring success, we counted only like 3 the following week who'd come back. And it's just interesting. I think there is this sort of, maybe you'd agree with it, I don't know, but a sort of growing fringe that is even more transient than the old fringe, coming in and out and checking out things. And so that's one of the reasons we try to, put some energy into these teams, because we've realized we're not even really able to keep track of all this, who's coming and going, and we need to we need to give it over to people, really. So I think that has affected it. I mean, as a team, a couple of us had a conversation with Trevor Archer the other day, and who's a training director, I think, of the FIC, and he was saying that lots of churches are reporting this similar thing, sort of, funnily enough, numbers sort of growing after COVID, but people coming from different places and not quite sticking around. And he was saying that the wisdom he's been passing on is to advise churches not to do anything dramatic, like for the next year or so, because in some ways the numbers that you might have are a bit of a false economy, and it's better to give it a year, let it settle down, see who's still with you, see who's still there, and then maybe think about, you know, big reorganizations or planting. Because if you do something drastic now and plant with 40 people, half of whom aren't even really with you and got your DNA, they may not be here in a year's time. And so I thought that was a really good piece of advice. We felt let's just not base too many big decisions on what we see now. Let's give it a bit of time. And then so that, I know that's all jumbled together, but those are just a few thoughts.
That's really helpful on thinking about newcomers in that kind of transient category. Mike, have you got thoughts in terms of people who they were quite established with you? You would think of them as sort of core members of the church. Are you seeing issues there in terms of sort of energy levels, enthusiasm levels of commitment to serve, you know, going up or down? Has that affected how you're doing training?
I think so. I think a lot of people are quite tired already, just emotionally and mentally, just from the last 18 months to 2 years. So we're, so that's why we're really careful not to put too much pressure on people as much as possible. So we really try and limit, if they're part of more than two teams, we really tell them not to do any more. Really try and limit the amount that they're really involved in, because it's really key having core members, but we don't want them to burn out. So we want to be really careful with that. So a lot of the conversations around the core members are that they are quite tired, and their energy levels are lower than they were prior to COVID. So that's definitely something we're seeing. And then just to echo what Tom's saying, the fringe is massive now, because it's almost like there's been a 2 year cycle of people who have just not been to church physically. They've been online, and then they just all suddenly come, and loads of core members are like, no idea who half these people are. We've never seen them before. And you talk to them and say, oh, we started joining online and we just thought we'd come along in person sometime. And so there's definitely that growing mass. Something I'd say is though, is we run something called the Servings Team Fair. It feels like a bit like a careers fair in a way, where all the teams on a Sunday will just be dotted around the hall, and they'll just basically, yeah, every 5 minutes, it's almost like speed dating. You just go and pick a team that you want to talk to, 5 minutes to talk to them, hear about what they do, and then you go to the next one. And we found that it's valuable doing that, because it shows the church and new people that there's lots of stuff going on that they can get involved in, and encourages them to get involved, you know, with some teams that are quite a low bar. The other thing I found that really helps is those who are from other backgrounds who we've seen coming in more, so from diverse ethnic backgrounds and so on, class backgrounds, when they feel like they're in the minority, it can be quite challenging for them to fit in. But getting alongside and serving really helps them to feel that they're part of the church very quickly. And so that's another reason why we really tried to push that in, and that's helped, I think. Sorry, it's getting working. This is working from home, just kind of getting.
I love the teamwork going on there. It's great.
Yeah.
Just coming back to, I guess, John's question and stuff in terms of if you were trying to make that move from, you know, getting some stuff at least into teams, like maybe actually just trying something which you can then sort of show people this does kind of work, and have some testimonies back that actually we've really loved being part of this team, this has worked really well. Would there be kind of maybe one area that you'd think this is where you'd start? Do you know what I mean? Would it be, for example, the welcoming, or would it be the hospitality, or would it be the kids work? Yeah, in terms of sort of, yeah, thinking of sort of quicker wins in terms of where you'd start. Tom, Mike?
I guess it will partly depend on, you know, each individual congregation and what sort of needs you've noticed and what areas seem to be being strained. I mean, now I guess I don't think it's necessarily one area you have to start in. I mean, for us, the media team has been really good for us, and they just come up with all their own ideas and do stuff, and it's just great. There's a real sense of that there. And the welcome team for us has been the big one, because it's that first few minutes in church, and you know, having people who recognize you and know your name on week two, you know, and week three, not just week one, makes a big difference, I think. And so that would be good. I mean, I guess it does need a leader in the end. It does need someone to make that team who's sort of got the vision, whether that's another elder or just a lay person or someone who you can really say, look, this is the vision I've got for it. I think you'd be brilliant for it. I'd love you to think along these lines, but feel free to think, you know, dreams about it, and see if you can get just one or two together who would be up for thinking like this as well. And sort of set the vision for them a bit, really. That's kind of how we did it. It seems to have gone pretty well for welcome. I mean, the other thing is to think about good examples outside of the church. I mean, I know Pete was always really impressed with Ian at Dundonald, who's sort of moved on now. But I mean, it's all, you know, his welcoming, you know, was just brilliant. And I think I don't know as much, but I think he thought through that was his ministry, you know, and he was going to do that, and he was going to think about it from start to finish, and was just a quite an inspiring example, I think, on how this could be done. So I guess thinking about others in churches that you know who've done it, and trying to maybe even get them in, you know, on a Zoom call or for a meal or something, to say what's good about it. So it kind of sets the vision from another angle. I don't know. Really.
I echo a lot of Tom's wisdom there. I think the way we look at teams, I think there are some teams that have slightly lower bars of entry, barriers of entry. So like a welcome team is a lot less kind of theologically intense than say the prayer team, for example, or the theology team. So start and welcome team. So, you know, the two teams that Tom mentioned, I think are quite noticeable during COVID, the welcome team and the AV team, they're kind of quite crucial to what's been going on. And so it's those visible teams, I think, where you could start, particularly the welcome team, because that's kind of first contact for anyone who walks through the doors. So like working hard at that can really help, just, you know, because everyone was welcome when they first joined the church. So it's like, they kind of know how it works. It's just helping to get on board with why does it matter so much that we do this really well. And just, that might be a good place to kind of start things to see how it goes. Obviously the prayer team and evangelism teams, if you have those teams around, they're really core to the life of the church, and you really want to build those well. And so you want to really put a lot of energy into those, but just to get a feel of how people react to stuff, starting with something like the welcome team or, you know, some sort of coffee team or whatever you've got, can be a good place just to see and gauge the temperature before you start kind of pushing into other waters. You know, AV team's quite high barrier because you need to have a certain amount of skill there and training. So it's very visible, but it can be quite tricky and it's quite intense. So just kind of thinking through practically where those pressure points are is good.
Great.
Not to question you at an awkward time, Mike, but just what you were saying there about your ministry fair idea, I thought was a really good. I mean, do you have all your, so what if a sort of new person goes up to the sort of preaching team and says, right, I want to preach, sort of thing, can you sign me up, you know? Sort of say, well, lovely, brilliant, but you need to hold on a little bit.
We make it very clear at the start that it's this is just a show of interest. So it doesn't mean that you're going to join a team. It's a show of interest.
Show of interest.
And then we'll, there's the kind of, so the elders and the staff team who are kind of overseeing that, we'll then tell them that we will look at and discuss to make sure that people aren't overloaded by doing too many teams. We know how many teams, how many members are in each team, and we want to make sure that there's a good spread of people. So we'll let you know which team you'll be joining. So we kind of phrase it like that, because then we can then ascertain if someone's not really up for teaching the Bible and not quite there yet, we can then push them to another team for the time being, get them to do some other training.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, guys. I think we're probably going to have to call a halt on that now, but we really, really appreciate that. Perks, would you be happy to just pray into this area? But thank you. Thanks so much, Tom, Mike. And I guess if guys want to follow up stuff with you, is it all right if they get in touch with you just to follow up some of those ideas?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. But yeah, Perks, do pray for us.
Father, we pray that that truth from Ephesians 4, that the work of the pastor teaches to, in particular, to train the saints for the work of ministry, would be one that we not only believe, but believe to the extent that we act upon it. And we pray, Father, that there would be a sense of a sort of an out of controlness as the congregation begins to get an appetite for serving the cause of the gospel in various ways. We think of Johnny's observation of how organic it should be, and we pray that within the congregation there'll be such appetite for being involved in serving the cause of the gospel that actually people are looking for jobs, that actually they want to go to a ministry fair, they want to work out what they might contribute. And we pray, Father, you'd help us to think about our role and others whose role it might be to prepare them, whether it's an AV team, whether it's a welcoming team, an evangelistic team, or whatever. Please help us to think about how we can release the extraordinary potential there is within our church teams, within our launch teams, within our congregations. Father, we are acutely aware that you have given us people with skills, with ability and capacity and potential opportunity. And we want to release that potential, and we do not want to be the blockage. We're aware that so much more might happen if we were to redirect what we do, with whom we do it, and if we're prepared to give away both ministry, but also the ability to make ministry decisions. So help us, together with others, to work out how we can better steward the resources you've entrusted to our care, such that we might maximize gospel ministry in our church plants, because we want to reach people with the gospel. We want to build them up to faith in Christ. We want to liberate them to be involved and contribute as well. So help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Amen.